Good morning. If you don't smile, I'll cry. Thanks for smiling. I drove 2 hours to come here. I live in Wonthaggi. Funthaggi, my kids call it, because it's fantastic. We love Funthaggi. The coast is wild and fierce and remarkable. Everyone comes in summer. Everyone comes in winter. Just not enough sun. Apparently I'm vitamin D deficient and I have to take drops because I'm from the tropics and there just ain't enough sun down this way. Unless, you know, I avail my skin, but then there's a problem of chill. So I'm here because God's told me to stay. Our family's here because God's told us to stay put. And I struggle with that a little bit. Mostly I embrace it. I live and I work and I play and I create on Bunurong country. I can flick to slide number one too. What's your name again, Mr. Man?
David.
Praise God for David. He's my best friend right now. When we look at the Indigenous language map of Australia, which I can see at the back, I love this technology, we see that there's over 600 language groups amongst our Australian population that has been researched by non-Indigenous people. Sorry. But this map is actually very powerful because it gives an acknowledgement and a value to the fact that we were here for a very long time. So I like this map, and I'm going to show you where I'm from. You ready? Mic number two.
Go back to number one, Dave. Yeah. You know those laser pointers? You know them? Mm-hmm.
Just imagine. Can you see it? Yeah. Don't point it in your eye. Can you see down there? That's where I live. That's where you live. Now, you see all the way up there? That's where I'm from. Up there where it says Torres Straits. You can't see it very clearly, but it says Torres Straits up there, and in a little loop circle there is the islands of the Torres Straits. You can see on the Cape York, on the eastern side of Cape York, there's Wutiti country in orange. And then right in central islands of the Torres Straits, there's Mabiog Island. That's where my ancestors come from. But I live all the way down there. Sometimes as Aboriginal and... Sorry, is that going to be confusing?
No, okay.
All right, sometimes as Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, we have a home that is so expansive it's really not easy to understand where we're from. We live in a time and a context where we've been shifted and moved around, often not by our own choices, or now we're stuck in places, again, not by our own choices, and yet we have to embrace and hold that. Sometimes there's decisions that have been made that place us in a context that we wouldn't necessarily have chosen if we had made those empowered choices. That's a very big statement that I've just made to you. And I hope you get the depth of it without me crying. I praise God that He chose me, He anointed me, He commissioned me for the life and the ministry that He's given me. Because through that, I have found His grace and His mercy. I have found His power in forgiveness instead of being incredibly angry. Can you see anger here? Yeah. Oh, it's there. It's there. But there's something about the love of God that He would have accepted and loved and forgiven me and then given me the ministry of reconciliation. I have to be honest with you. You scare the life out of me. I'll tell you why. I drove here to Beaumaris. Sorry, I pronounced it wrong before. I drove here to Beaumaris. You should see the affluence of your streets. Have you seen it lately? Have you seen it? Do you know how much money you're sitting on? Do you know how much privilege? Praise God for people like you that are connected with God, and if you're listening, can actually use some of that resourcing to help people who are in marginalized places. Challenge number one. Have you got it? I appreciate very much that you've invited me along. I don't actually know what I want to say to you. I don't actually know what to speak about. Can I be that honest? Can I get the quiver in my lip and get nervous right now? Except to say that there's something in this place that wants to learn and I can feel it. There's something in this place and amongst you as people that wants to love and you're trying to find answers through Jesus' way. So I'm going to trust him as I look at your faces and try to trust you. Didn't know I was going to say that. There's all this official stuff that I'm supposed to say when I'm a speaker and I've totally failed it. I'm supposed to say thank you very much. It's a great honor and privilege to be here. And apparently I've just said that I don't want to be here and I don't feel comfortable here and what the heck am I doing here? So I apologize. Let's start again. You ready? Okay. Good morning, everybody. My name is Safina Stewart. I am Mabuyog and Wutati woman. My father comes from a Scottish heritage and I'm very proud of both my parents. I thank God for them and I thank God for the three children in my family, my older brother Stuart, my younger sister Renee, and for me and my children and my husband, Brandon Stewart, Arietta Samuel and Letty Brooke. I'm a proud descendant of the Mabuyog and Wutati people. I'm a proud descendant of my Scottish heritage. I come to you as a mother, a wife, an Indigenous leader and theologian, and as an artist. I would very much like to share with you some of my story, which is conveyed through my beautiful pictures. Slide 2. We are here in Victoria. I was raised in a lot of places, but when Uncle David was talking then about, not Uncle David, Uncle Andy was talking about Corindirk, that's out Lilydale Hillsville way. If you've ever been, go and study the history of Corindirk. It's a very important history to the all of Australia because a lot of our advocates have actually come from Corindirk and the history of Corindirk. You'll meet our Martin Luther Kings in people like William Burrock. We have a very proud Aboriginal history here that has made massive change in all of the governments of Australia. I'll introduce you to my family now. Thank you, sir. This photo was taken, I was trying to get a good couple shot of Brandon and I. And, you know, when we got married, which apparently was a while ago now because there's three kids now, but they're all like the serious photos, you know, the pose where you get the sore cheeks and you got to blow them out in between photos. And then you smile again for the next photo and you pose and you stand like this and you stand like that. And we needed a toilet break, so we were at this park and we, like, stood in front of this door and took this candid one. And I thought, well, there you go. There's man, there's woman. And we're going to get old together there now. So we might as well have the wheelchair in there. And before that, we'll probably have a few kids that were pushing around in prams. So that I like that photo. That's my husband. He's a Kiwi. We say Pākehā. He's a white fella New Zealander. Good sort, them ones. These are our children. Aren't they? Oh, don't they just kill you with, like, love? My eldest is Arietta. Her name means little song of hope. She was given to me as a great gift. She saved my life. More of that story later. I just keep bringing it in. Samu. Samu is named after Samuel. God heard my cry. He answered my prayer. And this boy is learning how to listen to the voice of God. His favorite story in the Bible is Samuel. I pronounce his name Samuel or Samu rather than Samuel. There's a deep reason of pain and healing in all of that, but his life and birth is actually a whole redemption story in my life. Our little one, Letty Brooke, who is 3, so we've got 9, 6, and 3. Letty means joy and delight. Brooke is a gentle stream. She came in a very, very hard time, and God's promise to us was, I will lead you with joy and delight by a gentle stream. And now look at us. We live in Fundagi, most beautiful place. I'd like to share some of my stories through my art. This is how I contextualize the gospel to my people, and I'm talking my people as in all my people. You're my people. Let's go, Mr. David. How many of you have seen the book brought out by the Bible Society called My Mob, God's Story? You heard of that book yet? I'll show it to you at the end. But this is one of the paintings that has shown in one of those. It's one of the feature ones, actually. It's like in there twice. One's like really big. I'm supposed to be really proud of that, but instead I was like, oh, smile. Can you see that okay, or is the light too much? Is it all right? It's a maroon colour. Okay. One of the really hard things that I came to in my 20s was trying to figure out how my Christian upbringing could come in contact with and actually reside in peace with my Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander heritage. It was a cultural clash. At that point, also, I had just moved back from Papua New Guinea, where we'd been a missionary family for a long, 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 long time. And so I was going through a really hard time trying to figure out who I am and what I'm here for. This painting took 10 years. Do you believe me? 10 years. We women understand what it's like to have a seed that grows so big and then the pain of delivery. We know what pregnancy is about. We know what birthing something is about. And we also know the struggle of the unknown and the complexity of what bringing life into the world actually is. And then when they're out, the complexity then again for raising them. But this painting did take me 10 years to birth. I'm going to explain the symbols in it now, because you actually are supposed to read some of these Aboriginal paintings. There are 7 panels, each representing one day of creation. The first one, can you see that little 3-piece print there? If I was to sit down on the ground, on sand, with people in a circle, and then hop it up again, in the sand I'd be leaving my print where I sat. So that's the U print. You'll often see that in Aboriginal art. The U print means someone was here. True? If I then walk and leave my footprints, well, from aerial perspective, if I was a bird flying over, you would actually see dot prints. So often in Aboriginal art, you see line work with a U print. How do I try and explain the Father, Son and the Holy Spirit when it's never actually been placed in Aboriginal iconism before? Well, all I did was I painted 3 bums, which I don't mean to be rude, but guess what? It actually makes sense, because the Father is connected to the Son, is connected to the Holy Spirit, and they came and sat around my campfire. Isn't that awesome? Getting a lot of smiles now. Second day, that's when all the water is split. Third day, that's all the land and all the plants. Fourth day, sun, moon, stars. Can you see the Southern Cross? As an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Christian, that Southern Cross means a lot more to me now, on top of our traditional stories. So our traditional stories, that Southern Cross, that could be the footprint of an emu, that could be the tree that the 2 cockatoos are chasing after, but they never quite reach. But now I look at that and I go, that's the wounds of my Jesus on a cross. There's the crown of thorns, there's the nails in his hands and his feet and the spear in his side. And then there's the 2 pointers shouting, it's him. It's him. It's about him. So I look at my Southern Cross differently now that I know Jesus. We then have the birds. We have the sea life. We've then got the 6th day where you've got, see Adam there with his spear. See Eve there with her kulaman or her nappy bag or a shopping bag or her purse or whatever bag she's carrying. We women been carrying bags for a long time. And you men, please don't put down your spears. Pick them up again. Don't put down your shields. Pick them up again. We need all of our roles as men and women. So there's Adam and Eve, and they are in relationship with each other because they're facing each other. If you turn them back to back, that usually means bad business. Let's stay connected, not disconnected from each other. You can see all the different footprints of different animals. Like, I'll start from the bottom. You've got a person, emu, crocodile, kangaroo, snake, dingo, possum, then another set of footprints, because Adam and Eve walk and they shepherd and they have to look after all of those animals. That has to do with our role as custodians. And then on the last one, can you still see the Celtic influence there? I never knew that till I painted. I went, hey, there, Scottish right there now. Can't help it, it comes out. But it doesn't matter which way you travel from, north, south, east or west. If you come and you sit around our Father, Son and Holy Spirit, you're going to find rest. This Sabbath day one is actually about we find rest when we are actually at peace and at rest with our Father God. I also like how it's like the cross is like north, south, east, west because it's the good news. It's so good. Anyway, I painted it in all those earthy colours because it fit. That wasn't very, was it? Do I need to swap over to this one? I don't know if the batteries keep going. Okay. So that's my 7 days of creation. Took a long time, but for some reason that painting has really resonated with Indigenous and non-Indigenous people in a very, very sharp way. And I think what's happened is that a lot of our non-Indigenous Christians have actually been deeply searching for and wanting to know their connection to this country, and they haven't known how to make it. I'm starting to understand that Indigenous Christians are actually the gatekeepers to make that link so that you adopted ones can find home here. That was big. Let's go next one. This is Heaven Came Down. I nearly brought the original. I just forgot, like it was early. This one, Andy and I are connected with NAITS, which is the Native American Indian Institute of Theological Studies. And so we have theologians from many different Indigenous communities around the world come and teach us about the uniqueness of Indigenous theology. This does not separate Jesus as our number one. It helps us to see and understand the Bible and God's Spirit moving already in our country and land, even before, say, Captain Cook or the Black Book arrived. We have songs in our churches that we sing which separate our already known spirit of the land from our people as if God's Spirit only arrived when the Black Book arrived or when Lieutenant James Cook arrived. That's very harmful to our people. Very, very harmful. In fact, you know how we were talking about Missions Month? This is a side. You're all going to get mad at me now. Missions is a very, very harmful word to our people, to my Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. Have you thought about that? Mission means annihilation of your culture, your people, your family, your land. It's a difficult word. I just want to point that out to you. Doing mission to and on Aboriginal people is difficult. I don't come in as an Indigenous missionary. Do you know why? Because I don't shoot my own. I come in as an artist and as a person who wants to love and care for my people. Anyway, Heaven Came Down. You see the Southern Cross, the eagle. Bunjil is very important here in Victoria because it's our symbol for the Creator. One thing that Christians cannot argue with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people about, and vice versa, is that we were both created by a massive spirit who loves, protects, oversees, gives roles, and is giving that we are accountable to. You cannot dispute that in either territories. The part that's missing in both, might I add, is this factor of grace, incredible compassion. I need to rephrase that. What's missing often in either is an openness of heart to actually see the grace and compassion in each of those worlds. There's more in common than you would first see. But often our history has shaded us because it's separated us from each other and also demoralized one group and risen up another. I'm sorry for being political. There's much work to be done here in Australia. Much work. And I feel incredibly lost about how to bring life to where there's such hopelessness. I believe that Jesus brings hope. I know him to have brought hope into my life personally, but how do we inject that over an entire nation, over an entire people group, over an entire community, over an entire suburb? How do we inject that life in? It takes people like us to live our everyday step accountable to him and listening very carefully to him. I don't know. This faith walk is like the hardest but the best thing I've ever done. Yeah. I feel really modelled. How are you going? Next one. This is healing prayer. I went into a women's prison at Deer Park. And at Deer Park there were lots and lots and lots of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women who were imprisoned. Do you know about the incarceration rates of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people? Do you care? What struck me was that because those women were in prison, there were all these kids who were out their mamas. They were without their children. And guess what? It was Christmas. So what happens when a kid doesn't get to see their mama at Christmas? We held a fundraiser. I painted this painting. We sold it at auction. At auction, six kids were able to visit their mum on Christmas. Six. Sorry, that's a bit pathetic. But the message of this painting, so the prophetic stance in this painting, is that it's through Jesus that we find our healing. And it's through Jesus that we can actually get our stuff together, come together and actually exploit healing for all it's worth and spread it everywhere. So can you see Jesus in the middle of that campfire circle? And can you see people coming in from lots of different directions? See those song lines? They're all coming in, they're meeting with Jesus. They're doing it Jesus' way. Not their way, not another person's way. They're doing it Jesus' way and contextualizing it so that they can actually take that message out to where they've come from. So somehow, in that moment of fundraising, that image came to me and I painted it, and six kids were able to go and visit their mums on Christmas. Very small, but we do what we can to make a change. All right, thanks, Dave. This is proper good news. Proper means awesome. Good news means news that's good. So the story of Jesus is awesomely good news. On this one, and I won't go through all of it, but there's actually a pathway that you thread through and you can see the whole gospel story. So I've got Adam and Eve. Sorry, I've got the dream of God was that everyone would gather around him and be in unity with him. He created Adam and Eve, but then this stupid snake thing came along. See in red, that's for Satan. And he came with this curse of death. Can you see the bar that's grey? Sorry, it's a bit hard to see. But he came along, tempted them to turn off the track of being connected with God, but to go their own way. And the curse of death has actually now blocked them. And they're trapped. They're now coming, steering off another direction. But then God had a rescue plan. And can you see God there? And in blue, you've got Joseph, Mary, and in white, you've got a little bottom for baby Jesus. That's a nativity scene there. So then Jesus, he's baptized. There's the Holy Spirit like a dove. And then there's the 12 disciples up a little bit higher. So that image there, you can talk all the way through the life of Jesus and how he connected with people and how his story begins. We then take it to the cross, and the cross kind of doubles up as a sword, and there's a snake there and there's a spear going through his head. Slightly violent, but true, because it was actually through the power of what Jesus did on the cross and coming back to life again that that snake's head was crushed by the heel of this amazing Saviour. You can see there the tomb. 3 days later, Jesus came alive again. You can see 11 disciples right there. And then we come back down here, and this is the whole Pentecost story. Hey, is today Pentecost Sunday? Oh, wow. So here we have the Holy Spirit coming. Jesus has ascended, and you've got, it was hard to describe. I had to figure out how to do the tongues of fire, Aboriginal style way. So you've got a campfire with bums that are on fire. It's not quite right, but it had to do so. And then people take the message out in their different places to other campfires going around. The last one is kind of like a call to make a choice. Either we can choose to come back into that original dreaming of God, where we come through the way that Jesus made, through death, and actually connect with God again. Or we don't, and we turn away. And you can see the orientation of the prince there. You've got heaven up there, and you've got hell as well. They're very big concepts to try and explain. But when we simplify it, it's not picture form. It's not like things are downplayed and made simple for our Aboriginal people. We're incredibly deep, deep people. We have hieroglyphics that date further back than the Egyptians. We're using that symbol to be able to explain the story of Jesus to people. Do I have another picture, or is that it? Oh, baby turtles. I won't talk about this one, but you know how turtles are really resilient? I painted this one because our Indigenous young people really need support. Really, really need support. They're resilient, but they need support. So I painted this one knowing that there were many people who were working with Indigenous young people, and I wanted to encourage them. This one hangs on top of my girls' beds, the original of that one. All right, take me to the next slide. Thank you, David. This is the cover of the book from the Bible Society that won the Australian Christian Book of the Year award last year. There are 76 Aboriginal artists who are Christians, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander artists who are Christians, who are, their artwork is displayed in that book. And their testimonies, scriptures that connect with those paintings or drawings or sculptures that they've done, are there. This is a wonderful resource for all of you to get. You can get it from Coorong really easy. They're coming up to their 40th anniversary. I know all this stuff is so funny. Anyway, it's a good resource for you to have in your workplaces and in your homes. But none of the proceeds that come from the sales actually come back to the artists. It all goes to the Bible Society. So my caveat to all of that is make sure that you still support Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Christian artists, because this is often a livelihood for many of us. But still get that book, please. I just wanted to let you know that Reconciliation Week is coming up soon. Thanks, David. Is that on the next slide? No, sorry, go to the next one again. No, oh, it's not on there. Oh, go back again. Reconciliation Week is coming up, and there's often a lot of events that are happening around in local councils. So you can go to, I think it's reconciliation.org.au, and you can connect with a lot of different events there. I'm telling you this because often people want to know what they can do next. And although this church is doing lots of things connected with, like, Pauline and Bill, I knew it was Bill, I think we all have a duty to actually get to know and have relationship with our local people. So if you can, the 27th of May through to the 3rd of June is Reconciliation Week, which, by the way, was actually headed up and led by Christians. And that falls on two Sundays, and there's marks of Indigenous Christianity actually threaded all the way through Australian history in that way. Grass Tree, sorry, I am rushing at the end because I flagged too much at the beginning. This has been a terrible presentation, but do you know what? God is bigger. Yeah. So it's all right. And you'll take away a gem, so that's all right too. Grass Tree has been life-changing for me. Often people ask me, how have you kept going because it's been so challenging, which it has. I haven't even gone into those topics. But one of the things that has been inspirational is meeting other Christian Indigenous people who are actually on about the same journey of bringing healing to our nation. So I want to show you a video. We just had a Grass Tree gathering in March. It was full on awesome. We were in Sydney. You know where Captain Cook landed? At Captain Cook's Landing? They named it after him. At Captain Cook's Landing, we went and prayed. And we went, this ain't Captain Cook's. This is Jesus' country. And we reclaimed it for him. Talk about healing. Oh, man. I was scared of those waters. Scared. After, because it was a 40-degree day, I went for a swim. And I lay on my back and I looked up at the blue sky and I imagined all the women in the canoes that had lived for thousands of years on that water. And then I also imagined the big white ships coming in. And then I lay there star-shaped and went, Jesus, you come in now. Incredibly healing. So this is a little video because we need your support. So if there's any way that you individually or that you as a church community is able to get behind and back Grass Tree, I would love to invite that conversation. It's hard to plug, that was a good plug, something that's different to what your church is already established and doing, a good relationship that's already happening. But I'm bringing this to you just to expand your knowing that there are other Indigenous Christian things that are going on, events that are going on. I don't mean to cause fracture or to take away your already wonderful support to where you've already decided to plant it, okay? So this comes as a gift, not as a competition, all right? I've totally wrecked it. Isn't it great? This is awesome. I love it. Not. So, a gift. My boy and I made this one for your church. This was a piece of wood that came from a pew of an Anglican church on the west side of Melbourne. It got cut down because they were refurbishing, and I got given the wood. So I've made these crosses and used the Aboriginal flag colours to represent, you know, things of Jesus, like his blood, our sins, but how his glory is demonstrated through the power of what he did on the cross, and then white because he purifies us from our sins and actually gives us direction where we were actually lost. So if you hear my echo here of, I really don't know what I'm doing and I really hope that God knows what he's doing, when you look at this, when it's hanging up in your beautiful church, which is awesome, by the way, when you see it, can you pray for us Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Christians and community? Promise? Okay. I'm giving you this as a pictorial photo album so you don't forget us. All right. You got a lot in your head right now. Let's watch the video. Thank you, Dave. Thanks, everyone, for listening.